All right, good evening. Welcome to part two of the 13 Pillars, sponsored again by Becky and Avi Katz, with Hila Nishma Siona, Venerable Aryeh Leib. Tonight we discuss really something which identifies us as a people in the popular eye, and something that we take for granted, a most basic yisod that is more complicated than it sounds, and that of Yichud Hashem, or Achdus Hashem, the unity of God. What we say constantly, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So, it sounds simple, God is one. And yet the Chovos HaLevavos has 10 chapters in the Shar HaYichud, so it's not as simple as it sounds. What do we really mean when we speak of God as one? It's part of the basic credo of every Jew, Shema Yisrael. Jews use that pasuk to accept Ol Malchus Shemayim every day, the yoke of God's kingship. And the pasuk is on our lips. The notion of God's oneness is on our lips, God forbid it, martyrdom or at death, the last thing we want to say. Indeed, the Sefer Chinuch writes that the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem is just that, to give our lives to preserve this concept. So what is the concept that we're preserving? It's not just the number. And really we see from so many expressions in the davening that it defines us as a people. Say in Tachnun, V'chon Om Hamiyachadim Shemo, be gracious to the nation, the people that unifies your name. In fact, we say this in Kedusha every Shabbos, in Mimkom Ruif Rachamim, V'yochon Am Hamiyachadim Shemo, be gracious to the nation that unifies your name, makes your name one. What's so significant about that? What's the yesod here? Agavurcha, I saw before in this week's Seder, told us that says God that speaks to Yitzchak and says of Avram, Vayishmor Mishmarti, Mitzvosai Chukosai V'sorosai. Ramban says in his last commentary on the pasuk, Mishmarti, my safeguards. Oh, welcome my parents to shul tonight. What's Mishmarti? Emunas Elohus, the confirmation of God, Sheheemin Bashem HaMiyuchad, that Avram verified the unique, the singular God, V'shamar Mishmeres Zo B'Libo, and he preserved this idea in his heart. In fact, use that idea of Yichud Hashem, of the oneness of God, to challenge, to rebuke the idolaters of the world. So what exactly is this concept? Look first at number one. Oh, we start with the Rambam's formulation in his Parasha Mishnayos. By Yesod HaSheni, the second Yesod, the second principle, Yichudo Hashem Yisbarach, God's unity. Komar, Shenamin Shezeh Shehu Sibas HaKol Echod. We accept, we confirm that He who is the primary cause of everything is one. Ve'eno Ke'echod Azud, not like one of a pair. Ve'lo Ke'echod HaMin, not like one of a species. And not like a person who's a composite of various elements. Nor like a body that also can be divided and subdivided. In fact, everything in the physical world can be divided right down to the its last atom. Aval hu yis'ala echod ba'achdus. He's one in his oneness. Shein kimo so achdus b'shum panim. There is no oneness like his oneness. V'zeh ha'yesod ha'sheni morel of mashenemar. This principle is affirmed by what we recite. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So what exactly is that notion of the oneness of God? The Rambam gives us an insight into the area. It's not just the quantity. It's not one as a number, as a numeral. People who should know better but don't, namely intellectuals, will often point to a period in ancient Egyptian history when they worship one god, Ichnaton, the sun god, and they derive from that that Jews were not the first monotheists, that in fact there was a concept of one god. But of course, the one god that the Egyptians have is far removed. It's almost the complete antithesis of Hashem Echad that we have. So in fact, even the notion of saying God is one, in terms of one being a number, is misleading, as we'll see. But we'll see how we are able to refute the stance of the intellectuals and how what the ancient Egyptians believed during that period of time is not quite the same. Anyway, the Rambam says in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Zayin, number 2, further explains, Elo Hazeh Echad Hu Ve'Eino Shnayim. God is one and not two, nor more than two. El Echad, one. She'en ki yichudo echad min achadim al nimtzim ba'olam. But his oneness, or better said, his singularity, is not like things which are also singular in the world. Lo echad kimin shu kolo achadim arbe, not like one species that has many different elements, or kechad aguf shu nechlak l'machlokos l'ktavos, like a body that can be divided, elo yichud shen yichud acher kimoso ba'olam. But a unity such that there's no unity like it in the world. If there are many gods, so by definition there'd be bodies, there'd be something physical. And that's a point to which we'll return, that God's oneness as we understand it is inherently tied to his incorporeality, the fact that he has no body. Anything that has a body will not be considered echad, because anything that's physical can be divided. Once we say God is not physical, so that means he's echad. Why, there's a difference we'll discuss next week. But nonetheless, once we say he's not physical, then that means echad as well. He's not like a goof. Things which can be numbered, labeled, are separated by different characteristics that they have, or different eventualities that can befall them. So that makes them separate, that makes them no longer distinct or singular. Ve'ilu hoya hayotze gufu gvio, hoya lokeitz v'tachlish yevshalios guf shein lokeitz. If indeed God had a body, so he'd also not be eternal, because anything physical also is not eternal. Ve'chol sheyesh leguf lokeitz v'tachlish yevshalios guf shein lokeitz. Any body which is therefore finite and limited, his power is also finite and limited. Velokeinu baruch shmoho v'kocha in locates, and opposing, shagag osovev tamid, since God's powers are also infinite, as we see the spheres keep moving, and kocha kocha guf, his power is not like a physical power. V'hoel v'eino guf, lo yaru lo ma'oros agufos, kedei she nechlat v'nifrat me'acher. Therefore his body also, nothing can befall it like befalls the body as well. It's impossible that it be one, that it be other than one. What the Rambam says here, he actually echoes the Cholos HaLevavos that we'll get back to a little later. It'll be a little easier to understand. Look at 4 and the Sefer Mitzvos. I just want to underscore that the Rambam is making a similar point, because the notion of Achdus Hashem transcends just the idea of the oneness as a number. The second mitzvah we have, mitzvah shnia tzatzivoy shetzivona bemunas hayichud v'hushen namin. Ki poel ha-metzius v'sibaso ha-rishono echotu. It's the belief, the affirmation, that he who caused everything to exist, the first cause, is one. V'omri yisale, shema yisra shem kena shem echad, uvarova midrashos timtzeim yomro manas liyachid ha-shmi, amanas liyachdeni, Ram Kaeli. You find many midrashim that we do things in order to be miyachid Hashem, to unify his name. What do we mean by unifying his name? Rotsim bazam mamar, shu omnam hotziyem in ha'avdus, God removed us from slavery, Vasoima Mashasa did what he did with us, Menachas Vatov, Al Menas Shenamin Hayichud Kenafa Chayav Mase. Everything that God did to the Jewish people is that we should verify, we should affirm constantly his Yichud, his uniqueness. The Harbe Shayom Mitzvah Yichud, Vikur Gam Kain Zosa Mitzvah Malchus. Some refer to this mitzvah as well as God's monarchy, sovereignty. Kihem Yomru Kadei L'Kabel Olav HaMachu Shemayim. We say this pasuk Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So in fact, there are two aspects. Theoretically, a person can accept a God as king without necessarily accepting his oneness. No, for us, Malchus Hashem is tied to the notion of God's oneness. Now, why that's so, we'll also have to understand. But think about it. People accept all different types of idols or human beings as monarchs and don't necessarily believe in their singularity, in their uniqueness, in their oneness. No. In fact, if you think, how are we makaba or malcha shemayim every day, how do we accept the yoke of God's kingship? We say, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Now, if we would just stop the pasuk halfway, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, that should be called Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. God, here, Israel, God, who is our God, period. Hashem Elokeinu. No. Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim is not Hashem Elokeinu. Not only Hashem Elokeinu. It's Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Why should that be? Keep that thought in mind. Let's look at the Sefer HaChinuch, number 5. In the Chinuch, it's Mitzvah Tuf Yud Zayin. Shinistavinu Lahamin Kashem Yisbarach Hu Apoel Kol HaMetzius Adona Kol Echad Belishum Shituf. That we affirm that God is the one who brought everything into existence, the master of all, without any partners, any assistants. Shenemar Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. V'zo mitzvah sehi ein agado. This is a positive commandment. It's not just a drasha. I will perish. Shema klomer. Kabel mi meni dover zeh. God says, accept this. V'daito. V'hamein bo. Ki Hashem. Shu Elokeinu. Accept that God, who is our God, is Echad. Shoash mitzvah zo yadua, ki ze ikar emunas kol bnei olam, this is the foundation of the faith of every human being, v'u amud ha-chazak shalev kol bendas samuch olam, this is the mighty pillar that the minds of every person depends on, v'nohegas mitzvah zo b'chol makom chol zman, b'zichor menekevos. This mitzvah is obligatory in every person, every place, male, female. One who violates this and is not a mamim, b'yichud baruch hu, bitel aseizeh, he nullifies this mitzvah, and worse, he nullifies every mitzvah in the Torah. Because every mitzvah is dependent, b'munas elohu so, b'yichudo, dependent not just on acceptance of God, but on acceptance that God is echad. And such a person who denies Achdus Hashem, Nikar Kofer Be'ikar, Einu Michal B'nai Yisrael, he's considered a heretic, who's denied the very foundation of our faith. He's not even considered part of B'nai Yisrael anymore. Ela Michalal Haminim, he's a heretic. Vivdilo Hashem L'ra, God has separated him for evil, but Amamin B'Hashem L'Teach Bo Yisugav, such a person who believes is exalted. V'zos Achas Min HaMitzvah Shemarna B'Tchilas HaSeif HaShadam Chai B'Hem Asmada. It's one of these mitzvahs that the Chinuch wrote at the very beginning in his introduction, that a person is obligated in that mitzvah continuously. It's a mitzvah tmidis, meaning one can always think about Achdus Hashem, what it means, how it impacts on us. Klomar, shal yisak chiyuvon me'olav l'olam afilu rega katon. There's not a moment in our lives when we should lose awareness of the idea of God as Echad. In 6, the Minchas Chinuch adds that indeed, kol bo'i olam mitzuvon alzeh. Everybody is obligated because that's the true nature of God. But nonetheless, Shema Yisrael, because Rav HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakos Es Yisrael, so therefore he gave us this direct insight into his oneness. I mentioned that Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is our formula for Kabbalah Samachos Shemayim, and therefore we recite this formula twice a day, morning and night, that's the mitzvah min HaTorah, and it's read in a certain way with the gravity that should attach to it. Look at 7, The Shulchan Aruch Arachayim Simon Samech Al Sif Aleph Yikar Kriyas Shema Bekavano Ve'emo Be'yira Beretas V'ziya. A person has to read Kriyas Shema with kavana, with concentration, with fear, with awe, with dread, and with anxiety. Why anxiety? The Mishnah Berurah says there, Va'ofen zeh she'yichaven b'shosher hu korei shema l'kabel olav al-machu shemayim lios nerag al-kiddush Hashem ha-miyuchad. That a person says Kriyas Shema, we should think to ourselves that we are willing to give up our lives, to offer our lives for this very concept of Yichud Hashem. Well, that's my proposition. If we're going to give up our lives to testify, to uphold that idea that God is one, we should understand what the underpinnings are, why it in fact is so significant. But in fact, this is, we'll see in the Medrash now, in Dvarim Rabbah, Beis Chaf Beis number 9, the very essence of our identity as Jews. Medrash says, Ve'izel Malchus Shemayim Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. From where do we derive the merit of reading Shema? Amr Pinchas Bar Chama. Mi Matan Torah Zochi Yisrael Likra Shema. We earn that at Matan Torah, at Sinai. Ketzad? How so? At Motzei Lo Pasach HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Sinai Tchila Ela B'Dover Zeh. These were the very first words God said to us at Sinai. Amar Lohem, He said to us, Shema Yisrael, listen Jews. When the form of the Torah by the Rebbe Elokim Elokei Yisrael Lemar, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And when that happened, the Medrash says, Nanu Kulam Hashem Elokein Hashem Echad. So in other words, our response at Sinai to Anochi Hashem Elokecha was to say not just Hashem Elokeinu, but to say Hashem Echad as well. And then Moshe said, Baruch Shem Par Melchuso La'olam Va'ed. Rabbanan Amri, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael Banai, Kol Masha Barasi, Barasi Zugos. Everything I created in pairs. Shemayim Varetz, Zugos. Heaven and earth, a pair. Sun and moon, a pair. Adam Echava, Zugos. Olam Azeh, Olam Abba, Zugos. Avol Kodi, Echad, Umiyuchad Ba'olam. But my glory, meaning my existence, is one. It's singular in the world, and that's the Pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Alright, so what's the basic framework of Yichud Hashem, of that mitzvah? It really incorporates a number of different ideas, and that's why we're supposed to say Kriyas Shema B'Kavana, with concentration and slowly as well, to dwell on those words, because we should be thinking of these ideas, or as many of them as we can muster at one time. The first idea is Ein Od Milvado. There's nothing other than God in the world, that God is real existence, and above all, that God is unique. And God cannot be compared to anything in the physical world. There's no better idea, no better phrase that explains it than the second sentence in Yigdal. What do we say? Who's the last person who's saying Yigdal here? Echad ve'ein yochid ki'ichudo. The God is one. Ve'ein yochid ki'ichudo. There's no oneness like His oneness. There's no uniqueness like His uniqueness. It means there's nothing else of real existence in the world. And think back to our discussion last week of the difference between necessary existence and contingent existence. And you see there's nothing that God can be compared to in the physical world. He defies comparison. That's Echad. Echad means there's nothing like that. It's singular. It's unique. It's incomparable. If we try to compare God to anything in the physical world, we're lost. We're already treading down the wrong path because we can't compare Him to anything. He transcends that. So, Echad ve'ein yochid ki'yichudo, neman, v'gam ein sof la'achduso. There's no end to His oneness. No end to His oneness. That means that God's oneness is not a characteristic of God. It's not something which is part of His definition. Anything which is a characteristic, by definition, is part of a multiple set of characteristics. In other words, if you had an entity that had only one characteristic, well, that would be the entity. When we speak of a characteristic of anything, it means there's a multiplicity of characteristics. By definition, God doesn't have that. Achdus Hashem is not a characteristic in God. God's Achdus is infinite. It's not fixed. That's Ein Sof L'Achduso. The only way we can approach understanding of God is try to step back and contemplate, try to fathom what the idea of Achdus is. What something that is incomparable in our physical world can possibly be. And that, of course, is difficult to do. That's why we say in one of our expressions through which we relate to God is Ata Kadosh Veshimcha Kadosh. Kadosh also means removed. Kadosh means something that's beyond our ken, beyond our comprehension. So Ata Kadosh, you're removed from the ability of humankind to fully grasp you. So one idea is Ein Od Milvado, that only God has real existence and nothing can be compared to Him. The second idea is Ein Sof L'Achduso, that His Achdus is infinite, by definition, not fixed. And the third, of course, is that there's no plurality in God. There's no, conceptually, God is not a component, God is not a hybrid, rather God is the Achdus Achduso, like the Rambam says, His yichud she'ein yichud acher kamoso ba'olam, a oneness, a singularity, such as nothing else in the world that compared to it. When we say Hashem Echad, we really refer to all three. Nothing else, it causes us to say Kriya Shema a little slower. This idea, by the way, that there's only one force is very hard for people to accept. Mankind generally lives with the fantasy of a multiplicity of gods. Since most of mankind creates gods in their own image, so therefore since man possesses many different characteristics, man creates gods or fabricates gods that correspond to different aspects of the man's or the nation's or the religion's own humanity. And that's why the very notion of having Hashem Echad is very difficult to accept. Strange, you know, the Christians derive the Trinity, well, one source for it is they cite the pasuk Bereishis Bara Elokim. Strange, because the whole Torah is an expression of Achdus Hashem, and yet they darshan that pasuk. You can't say darshan, it's a bad word to use in this case, but they expound the pasuk Elokim, ends in Yud Mem, must be plural too, Bara. Lashon Yachid, another one. So the whole Torah is testimony, is edus to Yichud Hashem. And yet they take the first three psukim and try to prove a plurality, at least a trinity, in terms of the nature of God. Why? Because Achdus is especially a God that cannot be compared to anything. El Nisa Damiyuni Ve'eshra, the Navi said. To who can I be compared? Nothing. The notion that is the force to which we cannot fully relate, because his nature is completely different, not only from ours, but from anything we can even conjure, that's troubling for most of mankind. So Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zakos Es Yisrael, so we were given the formula, given the secret to understanding God, and to understand Achdus Hashem is to understand much about what the world that God created is supposed to be. Now, the one problem that you're all asking, I see it on your faces already, if we speak of Achdus Hashem, so how can we speak of Yigimel Midos, Hashem Hashem, Kel Racham Vechana, the 13 attributes of God? The 13 attributes of God would seem, at least on some level, to dilute the concept of Achdus Hashem. Well, I'm here to tell you that it's not so. The Rambam says in the first part of the Mor Nevuchim that none of these attributes define God, but rather they define God's actions. That's different. To define an action, God is Rachum, He's Chanun, He acts in a certain way, so that's an action. That doesn't define an essence. The essence of God always remains Echad, Achdus. Now, Rabbeinu Bachya said that we can't even say that God appears to us, or that God is a Rachum, or that God is a Chanun. Rather, the correct formula, and you see this in the Mor as well, is Mahu Nikra Rachum, Mahu Nikra Chanun. God is called compassionate. God is called merciful, called gracious. Not that he is. To say that he is already a stretch, already something that's beyond our full understanding. To make it just slightly more complicated, so as not to distort the notion, the pure notion of Achdus Hashem, the Rambam, you see, even in the Yad, but certainly in the Morah, only spoke of God in the negative, using what he called negative attributes. Because when you ascribe anything positive, a positive attribute, then by definition, it mitigates the sense of Achdus. So all the Rambam would say, and he underscores this in the Morah, is that God is not plural. God is not dead. God is not physical. To say something positive is to tamper with the sense of Achdus and make it seem like a characteristic. Why? To give you an example, if we would say God is Rachum, that God is compassionate, what we're saying is that God exists and he has a quality of Rachmanus. It means he could be Rachum, he couldn't be Rachum. But a characteristic is no longer an essence. It's not essential. For God, he and his midos are one. In the Rambam's phraseology, in the Morah, translated for you into English from the original Arabic, he said there's no existence in addition to God's essence. All we have is God's essence. His essence is his achdus, and nothing else can encroach on that idea. Now the Kuzari wrote a similar thing. If you turn to page number 12, it's Chelek Beis. Also, I put this in English from its original Arabic, despite the abundance of Arabic speakers in the audience tonight. So the Melech HaKuzari was questioning this area. If God is one, so how are all these names of God? So the rabbi said, all the names of God, except for the four-letter ineffable name, Shem Hashem, are characteristics and descriptions of God. We use these attributes to help us form a mental image of God based on the way we are affected by God's decrees and needs, meaning his actions. We say that God is the compassionate one when he improves the condition of a person's pathetic plight, arouses pity in people. That is to say, it's not a definition of God. It's not even a characteristic of God. It's rather something that we observe, that we look as observers, that we would say, if human being A did that to human being B, then we would define or characterize human being A as a compassionate person. So when we see a certain deed, Rofei Cholim, for example, then we say that God is acting in a compassionate manner. Although we call God merciful, you cannot really say this about him. Because to say it, as the Rambam, 100 years after the Kuzari said, then you're actually limiting God. Rather, he's a righteous judge who decrees poverty for one person and wealth for another. His essence is not affected by the decree he renders. He's not merciful toward one, nor angry with another. In the same way, we say that God is one, in contrast to the idea of two or more gods, not to ascribe to oneness the way we understand it. When we say one, we mean that all the parts of an object have been assembled into a unit, such as one bone, one arm, one sinew, one breath of air, one body of water. Time can also be broken down into parts, a day, a year. By contrast, the divine essence is above any kind of merging or dividing. The Torah says that God is one, as opposed to the idea of many gods. Now, let's look at the Chovos HaLevavos. We're coming up on the 1,000th anniversary of the writing of the Chovos HaLevavos, around the year 1020, 1030. Rabbeinu Bachya. So he says in the Shara Yichud, it's Perek Zayin, he offers seven arguments for the proposition that God is one. And we'll take each one briefly, because through them we'll get a composite picture of what this notion of Achdus Hashem is. So he says that first, he's demonstrated earlier that God's the creator. Now it's our duty to inquire as to whether he is one or more than one. The first argument is drawn from examining the causes of existing things. When we consider these causes, cause always fewer than effects. The cause of the causes, still fewer. The further back we go in tracing the cause of causes, the fewer causes we find, the higher we ascend, the hierarchy, the lower the number becomes, until finally, when we reach the top, there is only one cause, the cause of all causes. This is what the Rambam would later refer to as Sibas HaKol, the primary cause, the first cause, the cause of everything. If the
if the creation has one cause, it's because of an achdus that exists in the Creator. Now, it's not just that God is the first cause. There's something else. The second argument is drawn from the signs of wisdom which are manifest throughout this world. Upper, lower regions, minerals, vegetation, animals. When we study the world, it shows us that it is entirely the plan of one designer, the work of a single creator. We look at creation, so there's an intelligence behind creation. The way the earth functions, in fact, the way the universe functions, is with a precision that defies any type of logic or, not to get into another controversial area, but randomness. It's amazing. It's astonishing how these ideas still provoke controversy today. There's a movement that's based on the West Coast. I know some of the people involved in it, the Intelligent Design Movement. You would think, especially for religious Jews, it would be like mother's milk, that the universe had an intelligent designer. Whatever you want to call it, call whatever you want, but that the universe had intelligent design seems to be obvious to anyone who studies the harmony that exists in creation. No, apparently the people who subscribe to this, some of them are religious Jews, are ridiculed in the world of science and philosophy as primitive, as backward as who would ever maintain, and they subscribe to a randomness. And the fact that everything that exists in creation can ultimately be traced back to a randomness. It's just a roll of the dice. Strange, but true. There are people who still believe that. But nonetheless, if you look at even simple phenomena, much less more complex phenomena, the fact that the universe seems to be the work of a single creator, we find that with all the differences in its substances and elements, it shows uniformity in its effects and its parts. In other words, once the nature exists and the sun is rising and setting and the tides ebb and flow, everything else, if it was random, there'd be no reason why it'd have to continue to exist like that. And yet it does. Why should we have, if creation was a result of the haphazard, so why should we expect that from one day to the next, nature should be the same? Well, we have an answer for that. The randomness people really don't accept the fact that that's the way it is. We say it's the Ratzon Hashem. Not only the Ratzon Hashem, but it's the signs of the Creator's wisdom. Manifest in the smallest as in the largest creatures will testify that they have one wise Creator. If the world really had more than one Creator, diverse forms of wisdom would manifest in its different parts and its species and individuals. So, Achdus Hashem means there's a first cause, and Achdus Hashem means that there's an intelligent design, there's a single uniform designer behind everything in the world. Look at three. Third argument is based on the fact that the entire world was brought into existence from non-existence. That is to say, it's impossible for something to have come into existence on its own, so therefore someone must have created it. Now, of course, each one builds on the other. The someone that must have created it is a being with intelligence and a being that had to be the first cause. How then do we know that that being is one? Look at four. Because if not, he who thinks that the Creator is more than one must also assume that he is created. That is to say, if, Rahman al-Islam, we understand a Creator to be a plurality, then we have to say that each of them, or at least one of them, was involved in creating the other. Because we can understand something from nothing, but multiple somethings from nothing, that is not as easy to understand. So that's the pasuk we say every day in the davening from Nehemiah, Atahu Hashem Levadecho. You are God alone. Alone means alone in your creation, singular. Fifth, the fifth argument is drawn from the meaning of the concepts of plurality and oneness. So Euclid, who came tonight thinking that they'd learn a little Euclid? Not me. Euclid said, oneness is that notion in virtue of which a thing is said to be one. All right, makes sense. The Greeks loved it. This means that oneness is prior by nature to the thing which is one. Just as we say that heat precedes anything that is hot. If there were no oneness, nothing could be said to be one. What does that mean? It means the idea we should form in our minds of oneness is of absolute uniqueness and solitariness. Now you understand why I said earlier that the Rambam was echoing the Chovos HaLevavos when he said, the Yichud Shein Yichud Acher Kamoso. When we speak of oneness, we really mean incomparability, uniqueness, something that has nothing else in the world that is similar to it. The sixth argument is drawn from a consideration of the accidental properties that are attached to everything that is plural. That is to say, it's a negation of plurality. Plurality is an accidental property superadded to the substance of a thing, namely quantity. It sounds more complicated than it really is. In other words, you have a substance. So let's take this piece of paper, all right? This piece of paper is a substance. Now, if we want to make this plural, I tear it in two. What I've done then is superadd an accidental property to the thing, that is quantity. I've made one into two. God created substance and accident. Accident here means something that is not an essence. Hence, not one of their attributes may be ascribed to the essence of his glory. Has been demonstrated, Creator is exalted above any resemblance, comparison to one of his created things, and as the plurality superadded to the substance of a thing is an accidental property, it follows that no attribute of plurality may rightly be ascribed to the essence of the glory of the Creator. Meaning, if he cannot be described as plural, then he is necessarily one. That is to say, if we would try to entertain the notion, im yala al datenu, that God is more than one, we'd have to say that God has an additional characteristic superadded to his essence, the characteristic of quantity. That already would diminish the notion of God, and it completely vitiate the notion of God as echad. So therefore, once we say that God is Echad, it means that there cannot be any plurality in Him at all. Hence, the Creator is not more than one, He is a necessity one. That's what Chana said in her Tzila, or the Shira that we read on Rosh Hashanah, in the Haftarah the first day, Ein Kadosh Kashem, Ki Ein Biltecha. There is no one holy like God, no one except you. Ein biltecha is like ein od milvado. There's nothing other than you. And finally, the seventh argument, if the Creator were more than one, then each of them either could have created the world by himself, or could not have created it except with the help of the other. Now we get into some logical problems. If God were more than one, so then you'd have two creators. Or you'd have co-creators. Once you say that any of them could have created it by himself, then another creator is superfluous. If one can do it alone, why do you need the other? And finally, if we assume that creation could not have been completed unless the creators collaborated, it follows that not one of them is completely sovereign or all-powerful, as each one is incapable and limited. Each one is weak. So if you have two creators, it means neither could create on its own. If you have co-creators, similar thing. Now what is weak is limited in its power and essence. What is limited is finite. What is finite is composite. Anything finite is physical. The physical can always be divided. It's not composite. What is composite is created. What is created has a creator. Consequently, what is weak could not possibly be eternal, for the eternal one falls short at nothing and needs no help. Consequently, the Creator is not more than one. Just to summarize the Chovos HaLevavos, when we speak of Achdus Hashem, we mean that God is the first cause. We mean that there's a single designer to the universe. It means that there needs to be a creator who has to be one, because otherwise a multiplicity of creators would have had to be created, or they would create others. El Misidam Yuni Veshve, there's nothing in the world, in the universe, comparable to God. He's a non-plurality, because plurality is an added quality to any entity. And finally, if the Borei is not Echad, then he'd have two creators, in which case one is superfluous. Now, if you look at 11, just to add a little different dimension to it, the Tal Chermon, of Avinash Peres on Chumash, takes up this area in Dvarim, in Roshchanon, on the Pasuk Shema Yisrael. So now I want to read the whole thing. But he says that one is not the question of simple monotheism. I could say, simple monotheism is a Bore, and the Bore created the world. But there's another approach that people would say is also monotheistic. It's in the middle. He says, monotheistic hanatelas bara pantheistic. Monotheism that inclines towards pantheism. Pantheism is the belief that God is nature and nature is God. So theoretically, if you just didn't learn the Chovos HaLevavos, then you might want to, and people believe this today also, the theists, that you could, without the Chovos HaLevavos, you think and say, God is nature, nature is God. It's still one. It's still monotheistic in a sense, that there's only one deity. But of course, it's an error, because nature is not God, and God is not nature. They're separate. They're distinct. The nature is a reflection of God as creator, but it's not itself God. With that, though, Rav Kook added a very interesting dimension at the end of the first paragraph, that pantheism is false, but it has an element of truth. What's the element of truth in it? He says, Kol mitziut kula harehi or Eloki. All of reality is a reflection of the divine light. L'chein ein olam l'chud v'ribano shel olam l'chud. It's not as if the universe is separate and God is separate. Ela hakol or Eloki. And that's what he called, in the language of the Kabbalists, hayichud ha'elyon, the superior type of unity of God. What's that? It means there's nothing else in the world but Elokus Hashem, but God's divinity. And so everything in the world reflects an aspect of the divine light. So it's not pantheism, of course, but misunderstood, it sounds like it. It means that God's will attaches to every element in creation, and therefore every element in creation bears within it the Or Hashem. That's the Yichud Elyon, that is the domain of the philosophers. We are more comfortable with the Yichud HaTachton, which he takes up in Bez. What's the Yichud HaTachton? The lower form of unity, Sheino Mofia B'Torah B'Feirush, Elenemar Adei Yaakov Avinu. The Torah does not explicitly mention this, but it was taught to us through Yaakov, when Yaakov said, Baruch Shein Kvo Machuso La'olam V'ed. And we all know that we always append that statement to our recitations of Kriya Shema. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is really Yichud Elyon. It's God is in all His glorious oneness in terms of the universe. The oneness to which the Chovos HaLevavos mentioned. What's Baruch Shein Kavod Machuso Le'olam V'ed? Or Baruch Blessed is Shein Kavod Machuso, the name, the identity of the glory of His kingdom forever and ever. Well, the glory of His kingdom is only manifest in the affairs of man. So therefore, we see God's oneness, not only in His majesty of the universe, but on earth as well. That is to say, Hashem hu ha-molech, God is the ruler, mitgalib mitziyut, reveals Himself in reality, mitzadir sidrei mitziyut la'olam v'ed, He arranges the order of reality forever, be'avar, be'hoveh, v'atid, the past, the present, the future, v'kach mitgalek v'od Hashem. So we see that revelation of God's glory, that oneness, in our world as well, that there's one force, there's one ruler, there's not a multiplicity of forces. Now, this idea is confirmed by a statement in the Gemara, and by the existence of a very unique people on earth, namely, us, Kol Yisrael. Look at number 10, back on the first page. Tikmar Brachos Davav Amar Aleph Amar LaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. God said to us, Atem Asisuni Chativa Achas Balom. You made me one unit in the world. Shenemar Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That God is our God. He is unique. He is singular in His oneness. He is incomparable. Vani Ese Eschem Chativa Achas Balom. So God says, because you did that for me, so to speak, I will do that for you in the world as well. Shenemar, Umi Kamcha Yisrael, Goy Echad Ba'aretz. We're not one nation on earth, again, we're a singular nation on earth, a unique, incomparable nation on earth. So the notion of having one molech, one ruler, to whom we ascribe mastery of all events in this world, that leads us to be a people that's miyachadim shmo, that we unify his name. We don't ascribe events to multiplicity of forces. Granted, we don't always understand his drachim, his paths, his ways, but nonetheless we see one force and not the delegation to separate powers. So we are miyachadim shmo, v'chon olam miyachadim shmo, we are miyachad his name, meaning his identity, in every force, every aspect of the universe. All these true ideas of God are encapsulated in that one simple phrase, Hashem Echad. That's why it's in our hearts and on our lips, and it's embedded in our souls. The very identity of the Jew is bound up in these two ideas. If I would summarize for a moment, I would say that, granted, you can't have a better summary than in the Ani Mamin, which makes this point, or in its abridged form in Yigdal, Echad Ben Yochid Ki Yichudo, Neman V'Gam Ein Sof L'Achdusso, but it means two points. We speak of God as Hashem Echad, it means that God cannot be compared to anything in the physical world. And to do that is a human fantasy and a human distortion, beyond our full comprehension, because he's like nothing else that exists in our universe. And secondly, that God is the one singular force and source of all the phenomena that exists in the world as well. There is no other force. One of the ideas we mentioned is that oneness of necessity means that God is not plural. So you have a very good question. If we can derive God, that God is incorporeal, he's not physical. If we can derive God's incorporeality from the fact that he's one, he's echad, so why then is the third yesod God's incorporeality, that he's not physical? One should follow from the other. That is a tantalizing question that's designed to bring you all back next week. Good night to you, and l'chol hamazinim. Bye-bye. Thank you all.